SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Wednesday to you now. December the 13th. That is right. Just a couple more weeks here before we turn the page on 2023. Welcome in 2024. I'm Joe Ranieri. Thanks again for hanging with us here as we get ready for a big NBA slate here tonight. Plenty of college hoops to talk about, including week 15 of the NFL season. And bowl week, that's right. College football bowl week begins this week. So we got a lot coming up this hour. No better way to start it than with a great same game parlay with our good friend Davis Maddock. What do you got going on tonight, Davis?
All right, guys, we are back for another same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook, continuing the NBA action. We did not get there last night with the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson tried, shot a bunch of threes, didn't make enough in the end. But we are going right back to it tonight with the Atlanta Hawks, who are traveling up north to play against the Toronto Raptors. We are going to begin our same game parlay by taking the Atlanta Hawks on the spread, plus 1.5. You could take the money line as well. Not a huge difference in payout there. The Hawks, slightly better team by net rating. They are a very good offensive team, a 119.5 offensive rating. Where they fall short on defense, they are one of the worst defenses in the NBA. In fact, they are the third worst team by 100 possessions in defense. Not a situation that the Toronto Raptors, though, are uniquely able to take advantage of because they have no shooters. And if you have no shooters, it's hard to score points. We are also going to take Trae Young to score 30 or more points in this game. I really like the correlation between Trae Young having an efficient scoring night in any sort of Atlanta Hawks win. And then we are also going to add Dennis Schroeder to record 4 or more rebounds in this game. Schroeder, one of the bigger, better rebounding point guards in the NBA. The Hawks play a pretty small lineup these days. They do always have a center out there, but their guards are very small. Their wings err on the smaller side. I think we see a nice rebound spot here for Dennis Schroeder. This three-leg same-game parlay is going to give us plus 746 odds. Atlanta Hawks plus 1.5 points on the spread. Trae Young to score 30 or more points, and Dennis Schroeder to record 4 or more rebounds in this game. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, appreciate that, Davis Maddock, as we welcome in our radio audience here on this Wednesday. It is Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day as we are getting ready. Opening tip-off here on a 9-game slate in the NBA about to take place. Couple of games ready to roll, as well as 23 games in college basketball getting ready to tip off. But some of these games, these early slates, we just talked about there with our good friend, the coach, James Young. He's going to join us here again for yet another couple of segments as we get ready to talk about some of these later games also coming up, coach, in history being made here. Kind of crazy, but yes. Never thought we'd get to the point where we get all-star game numbers for totals in the NBA. But yet here we are in December, and we're getting totals near 260 points. We'll get to that here. But I wanted to ask you, Coach, about this Clippers team that did it again last night. Another win. It's how they're doing it that's extremely interesting to me. No load management. Kawhi Leonard at this point would have had 20 games last year in which he didn't play. Paul George, same situation. It's amazing to me how they've actually bought in, because they bring in Harden. They have to basically start over from scratch, trying to figure out the rotations. How sustainable is what the Clippers are doing, do you think this is, through an 82-game season right now?
It's all going to be dependent on the fact that they have four guys, if you count Russell Westbrook, who need the ball in their hands a lot in order to score, a lot of ISO ball. But you can say this. Listen, folks, you know, Paul George, when he wants to be, is one of the better defensive guards or small forwards in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard, we know, is a lockdown defender. Trey Mann can play some defense. So they got some guys in that starting lineup that can lock up. And they got guys who can score. What's also interesting about this team is their bench play. Now, after having Russell Westbrook coming off the bench, Norman Powell is one of the best six men in the NBA. But there's other guys. P.J. Tucker, we don't know what's going on with that. That's going to be something to watch because I think he's going to be bought out. Yeah. And the same thing with Bones Highland. But they also got an intriguing pickup in getting Daniel Theis. Like, people realize, I'm not saying Daniel Theis is a star. He isn't. But he's a serviceable, really good big man. And they're bringing him off the bench. So the Clippers have length. They have depth. And I think what's interesting, Joe, more than anything that I have taken out of the Western Conference, and I'm sure we'll get to them next, is you look at that division, right? You look at the Clippers. You look at the Lakers. You look at Sacramento. You know, you look at Golden State. You look at Phoenix. Folks, the worst team out of those five are the Warriors. Like, line them up. Who are you taking? I'm taking the Clippers over the Warriors right now as a team. I'm taking Sacramento, even though they lost by 20 last night. I'm taking the Lakers. And I'm taking the Suns. Like, folks, the era of the Warriors is done. It's done. It's Draymond's punching Nurkic. Steph's trying to drag him across the finish line. Poole is in Washington. DiVincenzo's in New York. Kerr's now washed. Klay can't hit a shot. Wiggins looks out of shape. Kuminga is not done what they thought they were going to do. Same thing with Moody. They don't have depth. Joe, the window for the Warriors is closed for business.
I don't even think there's any question about it anymore. But I will say this. I think the one thing that stood out to me, especially during this winning streak now here of the Clippers, and again, Kawhi Leonard last year would never have played the second of a back-to-back like he did last night. Much less, Coach, drop 31 in three quarters against a pretty good Sacramento team. He has scored 106 points in his last three games. Oh, yeah, he hasn't sat out any of them, which tells me Kawhi Leonard is 100% healthy again, Coach. And that is the Kawhi Leonard that took the Toronto Raptors. What we saw last night, what we have seen, that's a healthy Kawhi Leonard, which ought to scare the hell out of the rest of the Western Conference, because that man by himself can lead Norman Powell, Mann, Paul George, Hart. They get on that train. Good luck trying to stop a healthy Kawhi Leonard, Coach.
Here's the thing. When Kawhi Leonard is engaged, he is a top 10 player in the NBA. And he may be, ready for this, folks? Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard, when engaged, is the best two-way player in the league. He will lock
Absolutely.
You up and drop you a 30-piece. So if he's engaged and they can keep all these other jabronis to toe the line with a guy like Ty Lue, who's a top five coach in the league, you're talking about a team that could win a championship.
Might be time to look at some of them Clipper futures. We'll have more on the card tonight, next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, I'll say this. When all else goes up in flames for the Pistons, they can say that they were once up 2-1 on the 76ers in this game here tonight. But they are, that's about all it's ever going to be. They can actually say, Coach, they were leading the Sixers 2-1 early in the game, and that will be about the highlight of this game, as the Pistons are well on their way to losing their 21st straight game. Just absolutely brutal there. Pelicans also losing to the Wizards 13-4 quickly in D.C. there at the Capital One Arena. But no Zion there. And, of course, the Wizards always figure out ways to lose games like this. Joe Ranieri alongside Coach James Young here. We've got some other games coming up tonight that we want to dive into. We'll start in the 8 o'clock hour here, Coach, and we're going to talk history here because I thought it would take a little while. I thought we'd at least maybe next year, year after, when we start getting all-star game totals as pregame numbers in NBA regular season games. Yeah, Houston, we got a problem here. The Bucks and the Pacers are at 258.5 before we tip off here tonight, Coach. And I'll repeat, 257.5, 258.5, and even hit 259 at one point here today. I can't stress enough how little, Coach, would have to go wrong for you not to sniff this number in an NBA regular season game. Not to mention, they've already played one another how many times now? Coach, by accident, they could play defense and run into one another since they know each other so well here. That is an impossible number on a consistent basis to get to, especially when so little has to go wrong for that to go sideways. But yet, here we are in the second week of December, Coach, and we're talking about 260 as a total.
I don't see it. I just don't see it getting there. I mean, you're right. And I think here's the thing, folks. Giannis is pissed. I think he's legitimately mad. I think he wanted that showdown with LeBron. I think he wanted to win that in-season tournament. And to me, I saw Indiana literally rebound, outlet, one dribble, up the floor layup. They ran Milwaukee out of the gym. So now you got Milwaukee in a bed. And Damian Lillard was god awful. Don't look at his stats. He was awful in the first half. So I think you get a better performance out of Dame. I think you get a monster performance out of Giannis. Go over his points prop. I think the Bucks win. And I think the game goes under. And the reason why I like Giannis's prop is, as good as I've loved him with the Knicks, Obi Toppin is one of the worst defenders in the NBA. I mean, he can't guard a coat rack. And I'm not talking about the one that rolls. I'm talking about the one that doesn't roll. He can't guard that thing. He'll lose it. Giannis over. Bucks minus the points. Game goes under.
And the game goes, I'm telling you, folks, so little has to go wrong to hit that number. And by the way, Coach, I know there was, you know, you've talked about it. We've documented some questions about the first year head coach here, new head coach that Giannis had to have. But has this for a bit of advice, Coach. Maybe, just maybe, trying to outrun a team and play with a quicker pace than the when you can't beat them at their own game, maybe you should not try that route, Coach. Maybe try slowing the damn game down as opposed to trying to get into a track meet with Indiana. I'm just saying, maybe don't do what Indiana does better than you, which is run at pace here. Is that possible here tonight, you think?
Yeah, you can't run with the Pacers. There's a way... it's death by 1,000 cuts or death by 1,000 possessions, maybe. But you gotta jam the brake, because what they do is on the outlet, they get Halliburton up the floor. So when you are trying to run transition, folks, just to kind of give you a little basketball knowledge 101, when you want to run transition, you would love to get the ball out, I would say, foul line or higher, right, towards basket. He's getting a foul line or higher on the run. So now he's on the run. Now it's one or two dribbles, ball's past half court. So now you got 1.5 seconds of ball over half court. That's a problem. So how do you stop that? You score, and you punish them inside. That's why Giannis should go off tonight.
Lakers, second of a back-to-back here. A lot of effort last night in that game against Dallas. Dallas laid it all out, too, and they've been shorthanded. I'd be shocked if both play tonight, that being AD and LeBron. Nobody could blame them if maybe they took a game off, because they are playing the Spurs after all here tonight, Coach.
Well, let's put it this way. The line is so short. Why, folks? They're expecting someone not to play. Like, if LeBron and AD are playing, there's no way this game is 3.5. No way. No, right, Joe? It would probably be what?
Yep.
Say 7.5, 8.5, probably. Yep. So they're expecting someone to be out. I would go to Wemby over his points prop. He has played better, and he likes these matchups against these iconic guys. Remember what the 38 piece he dropped on Durant? I'm not saying it matters so much if LeBron plays or not. I just think Wemby's playing really, really well. He's playing better. Look for him to go over 20.5 points. I can see him getting about 25 tonight.
All right, there you go. We do have a couple of other intriguing games here. I'll start the one more in the 8 o'clock hour here, Coach, and then I want to talk about your Knicks that are getting ready. But, man, there was a lot of interest with the Grizzlies and Houston here tonight. This thing has been knocked down all the way to under 210. Talk about two different games here between Milwaukee and Indiana. But the Rockets are almost a double-digit favorite here. And I get it. They've already beat the living snot out of them one other time not too long ago. But the Rockets have been money at home. Are you laying the almost double digits here, Coach, with the Rockets?
I want people to just understand what Joe Ranieri just said. The Houston Rockets are a double-digit favorite at home. And you know why? Their ATS is third best in the NBA. They cover 72% of their games. They've won their last 10 games at home. They play well. The Grizzlies are terrible offensively at the 27th percentile offensive efficiency. Meanwhile, the Rockets are one of the better defensive teams. Shout out to Ime Udoka. He just proved his mettle again because he was with the Nets. They played defense. He went to Boston. They played defense. And now he's in Houston, and he's got those young kids playing defense. The line, really, Joe? It's warranted. It's very warranted for a team that's playing really well. I know people think I'm crazy. I'm laying the points. I'm taking the Houston Rockets -8.5.
Oh, no, Coach. We know you are absolutely a few fries short of a happy meal. Talk to me here about the Suns and the Nets here, my man. Great spot to fit. Suns, second of a back-to-back. Nets got embarrassed the other night in Sacramento. They're the rested team. Is it Brooklyn tonight?
I don't know. This is a tough one because, if I'm not mistaken, everybody's in tonight, I do believe. For Phoenix. And hey, Joe, is this the first time that they've all played together? So this is going to be an interesting spot. Folks, this is a live bet game. This is a live bet game. But if there's a guy I'm looking at the guy coming home, and that's Mikal Bridges. He's been playing a lot better as late. He's been scoring. Cam Thompson's come back on earth. Look at Bridges.
Boys has got revenge. Coach, enjoy them fries, my man. We'll talk to you again later this week. Game Time Decisions returns.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this December the 13th, this Wednesday night. I'm Joe Ranieri, and we're excited this time of year because coming up in just a couple of days, the craziness that is bowl season. That's right, college football resumes here on a big-time level. Whole lot of football from this Saturday right through the first week in January as we look to crown a national champion and along the way look for some value in some of these bowl games because it can be a very tricky slope here now with the different rules in college football. Not even so much motivation anymore, but who the hell is playing and who's not playing because the transfer portal, yep, and those new rules have pretty much changed everything and nobody has their finger on the pulse of what's going on more than our man, Chris Thurston. CT Betts in the house. We're going to change his name this week to CT Chalk. You'll figure that out in just a minute here. But CT, it's kind of crazy because more than ever, you know, years past, we might have had a half a dozen bets already made in bowl season because we were pretty confident who the coach was still going to be. We had an idea who the quarterback, who was playing, who wasn't. But, man, caveat here. Take your time. Know exactly who's playing and who's not. And no better example than this L.A. Bowl here with UCLA and Boise State. I mean, Boise State's now got their, what, third-string quarterback going for them? So a lot of opt-outs there. How are we approaching this game?
Yeah, Joe, before I jump into this, you made a great point. There really hasn't been, like, that information that's really popped this year that, a few years ago, you and I, we were involved. We got some information on the Nevada-Western Michigan game. That was the best bowl game we've ever got info on. I think we had whatever side we had, I forget, we got +9. They go off as a 7-point favorite. They win by 15. It was unbelievable. There hasn't really been that this year. So, yeah, you know, it's tough to keep up with who's coaching, the opt-outs, like you said, who's going pro. But let's start with this one. The Boise State, they closed out the year strong. They obviously won the Mountain West after starting 3-2. They fired their coach midway through the season. But unfortunately, like you already you said here, they're losing their starting trigger man, Talen Green, to the transfer portal. They're going to be on QB number 3. That's freshman C.J. Tiller. He's going to make his first career start. He only played 2 snaps this season, and now his first start comes against a really, really dangerous UCLA Bruins defense here. And, you know, I know UCLA, they lost the defensive end, Latu, who he's opted out. But the rest of the defense remains intact here, which could spell trouble for Tiller. The Bruins, they're going to have Ethan Garbers under center this weekend. As you know, Dante Moore, who kind of was QB1, entered the transfer portal. This is a significant advantage here at the most important position. Garbers actually started 6 games this year, threw for 6 TDs. He barely turned the ball over when he was playing. Garbers is a really good quarterback here, and he's going to be up against a not-so-effective Boise State defense compared to what we've seen in the past here. I'm back in the Bruins. The experienced quarterback, the Bruins D was going to make it very difficult for the Broncos to move the ball. So I played on UCLA, Joe, -4. I expect it to close probably closer to 4.5, 5 as we get closer to Saturday.
It should be. I'm with you here. I'll go chalk. I think Chip Kelly gets this one done. I think there's levels to this, and I still think the athletes at UCLA are still going to be far better than anything that Boise State is going to throw out on the field. Before we get to the NFL, I did want to mention, and again, we hammered this home too. You and I both liked Missouri early on here because we had a kind of feeling, right, with Ohio State that, they ain't playing for a national championship. There could be a mass exodus going on. We were somewhat right. What was that, 3, 3.5 when it opened up, Missouri? We're getting? And now we're learning maybe not everyone is leaving. Like, what's going on now?
Right after we make the bet, Joe, it looked really good. We got a lot of opt-outs, a lot of transfers started right away in the first few days. Yesterday, big announcements out of Columbus. The stud wideout, Emeka Abuka, star All-American cornerback, Denzel Burke. They both announced they're going to play in the Cotton Bowl and remain undecided if they're going to enter the draft or if they're coming back. Then right after that, offensive guard Donovan Jackson and defensive tackle Tyleek Williams, they announced the same, that they're going to play as well, and they're not sure if they're going to enter the draft. Joe, is there something going on in Columbus? I hear Ryan Day isn't going anywhere. Little Birdie told me he turned down the offensive coordinator job for the Panthers. That's what I've heard. He's coming back. Did he have some rah-rah team meeting? Or can this be the boosters kind of just giving these kids some NIL money to show up, put some butts in the seats? Who knows how much they're going to care? And who knows what's going to, like, how much they're actually going to play? You know, these 4 kids I just named, you know, they very well could be going pro, Joe. Do they want to risk getting hurt? Are they getting paid? I don't know. But I'm starting to get a little bit nervous because, as you know, the 2s and the 3s, and I go even far as the 4s for Ohio State, Joe, they could all start pretty much at any other school.
So true here. But maybe, just maybe, The agents or people around him are saying you need a big game here, front and center, top of mind. You need to play in this game. You need to show up because maybe it's not as easy a lock for these guys in the NFL as maybe we think. So maybe that one final game front and center might push them over the edge here. But we also have week 15 coming up in the NFL. Imagine bringing in somebody who was working at Applebee's a week ago, Nick Mullins, winning a game 3-0, and then people expect to do something against maybe one of the hottest teams now in the AFC North, Cincinnati. What are we doing with the Bengals, and what are we doing with the Minnesota Vikings this week?
Yeah, Joe, as you remember on this show last week, I gave out the Bengals plus one. Close -3, -3.5 someplace. They take care of business. They cover all the numbers. Another fine performance out of the trigger man, Jake Browning. And they smash the Colts in the second half, get back into the AFC pitcher, playoff pitcher. Meanwhile, like you said, the Vikings need Nick Mullins to come in, lead a game-winning field goal drive, 3-0 win in the ugliest game of the NFL of the week. And I wouldn't want to bet on Nick Mullins this weekend with your money, Joe. And we get a Browning who's playing like close to a healthy Joe Burrow here. I'm coming right back with the Bengals on Saturday. It's the first game to go on NFL Saturday. Like I said this past week, they have all the talent, all the skill position players they need surrounding Browning and that offense to get it done. Defense playing much better. And like you mentioned last week on this show, they learned that they need to run the ball, and they're getting Joe Mixon involved in the mix, no pun intended, and they're doing a good job at it. And Vikings are going to need to score some points to try and steal this game. And I don't trust the drunk offensive coordinator Wes Phillips and Nick Mullins to do just that, Joe. I played on the Bengals here, -3, to get the job done in the first NFL or the second NFL game of week 15.
I agree with you there, my man. Yeah, a little story came breaking out that the offensive coordinator from Minnesota on game day had gotten arrested the night before for a DUI, but made the trip anyway. And a lot good that did them as they managed to get just 3 points, but it was good enough to win that game. All right, you have a love-hate relationship with the Buffalo Bills. So I'm hesitant to ask you, in this game against the Cowboys, do we love them this week, or are we still hating them? What are we doing with the Bills?
I really do, Joe. You couldn't be more right on that. I thought I made a great bet last week on the Chiefs. You know, I get a pick. I just don't know what to say about that game. The Chiefs played a great second half. Bills not so great of a second half, and I'm not going to complain. It was the right call at the end of the game there. So Dak now the favorite to win the MVP. They smashed the Eagles this past Sunday, right? Nice little win for the boys. They dominated time of possession, really never gave the Eagles a shot to get back in the game. Bills go into Arrowhead, they get outgained, but hold the ball longer and turn the ball over less, get out of there with a much needed win. Dallas has been really good at home this year, but they've really, really struggled on the road. And I think that's what we're going to kind of see here Sunday. Dallas struggle in Buffaloville here, Joe. Even with the Bills' record, right, their offense is still one of the best in the NFL. They have a great home field advantage here, as we all know. This is going to go to 3. Eventually, this game will close 3 here. So I hopped on now. I have -1.5. I know it's -2 pretty much across the board. I have no problem with that. I think it's going to come down to turnovers here, and I think the Bills D could force some. And it's a bad spot for Dallas coming off that huge in-division game over the Eagles. Now they have to travel to Buffalo, play in the cold where no one but the Bills like to play, right? I played on the Bills -1.5, -2 here. I think it's good to anything 3 or below, Joe. Bills get it done here in another much-needed win for Buffalo, for Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills.
All right, leave that chart up there. Leave that graphic up one more time. I just want to reiterate this. This week, It is CT chalk, people. Minus four for the Bruins, minus three for the Bengals, and minus 1.5 for the Bills. A historic chalky moment for Chris Thurston, my man. Listen, you're going to sweep the board. It sounds like three wins straight up to me here, my friend. It should be a very profitable week. We'll talk to you again next week. We'll see if the chalk remains as Game Time Decisions continues next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network on this Wednesday. So we've covered the NBA, we've covered some college basketball, we've got bowl games, NFL. Time to talk a little hockey here, and nobody better than our man George Kurtz, ready to roll here tonight. Limited slate here, Kurtz, but really some intriguing matchups here. Couple of games underway, including your Islanders taking on the Ducks. We've got, and go figure, two teams that couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat, and we've got a 2-1 game already, and there's still 6 minutes to go in the first period between Pittsburgh and Montreal. We have the Bruins and the Devils also just dropped the puck, nothing there. Sabres, Avalanche, and Jets, Kings coming up a little bit later, but let me start with your Islanders. Every time I've talked to you here on this show, we always laugh and go, well, if you're expecting goals and, you know, they ain't coming, it's an under this, under that. And then you said, well, they got half their defensemen are out, so they're probably going to give up more goals. And you didn't tell me they were going to be an offensive juggernaut like they are here. The Islanders are playing out of their mind offensively. What is going on with your team here tonight?
It's awfully strange, the Islanders. As you and I discussed during the break, right? We can understand why they're giving up goals. You're literally missing Pelech, Pulak, Aho was out, Mayfield's out tonight. That is four of your top six defensemen. No one's surviving that in the NHL. No one can survive that in the NHL. All right, Aho did come back tonight, but Aho is literally your sixth defenseman. And all the guys that I mentioned are out. He's the least one you care about, right? The other guys you need back here. So we understand that. That's why they made the trade for Bertuzzo. It's why they made the acquisition of Riley here. They needed defensemen badly here. So listen, we can. That makes sense. I can defend that. I have no idea why all of a sudden they're scoring goals left and right. All right, none. All right, by the way, speaking of goals, Montreal just scored a third goal in the first period against Pittsburgh. Didn't see that coming either. Barzal and Horvat are having right now the chemistry that Lou Lemieux was hoping they would have when he acquired Horvat last year. They look fantastic together. That's certainly part of it. I don't think that explains all of it. Brock Nelson, okay, he's on pace to score 30-plus goals again. That's what he's done. They're getting good secondary scoring here. They're crashing that up. Puck's just going in for them right now. Joe, if you're asking me, do I think this is going to continue? No, I don't. Not to the degree. I think they're going to be a better goal-scoring team than they have been, but not what they're doing. I mean, right now, it's nuts. They've been automatic under. A team that I can rely on, right? They were automatic. 5.5, take the under. You're going to win money. You know, 3 out of 4 games, you'll win money here. Now they're not that anymore. We have to sort of reevaluate the Islanders.
Kind of crazy here, Kurtz. Didn't think we'd see that, but yet here we are. I also didn't think we'd get a chance to back the Boston Bruins here at plus money. They have an interesting setup here. It's against the Devils tonight. They've got the Rangers coming up on Friday. Your Islanders on Saturday. But listen, are the Devils that much better than Boston where I shouldn't take the plus money with Boston here tonight?
I can't knock you for taking the plus money. It is the Boston Bruins. They've cooled off of late, but they are a really good structured team here. Do I think the Devils are a better team? From 1 to 20? Yes, I do think the Devils are the better team. They're both missing their top defenseman, right? McAvoy's out, Hamilton's out. But the difference is goaltending. Devils don't have it. Bruins have it, and, you know, hey, we have it times two. Swayman, Omark are both great. That is the difference in hockey. That's immensely important here. So, I said, I think the Devils are the better team. They're getting healthier outside of Hamilton, right? Myers back. Hishai was out. Hughes was out. They're all back. They should be able to score some goals here. I didn't bet this game. I think it's too close for me. I did take the over, mainly because of what I mentioned. I don't trust the Devils' goaltending. Two key defensemen around here. I took the over, but I don't knock you at all for going with Boston for plus money.
Yeah, kind of hard to not take it, because they know they're being considered the underdogs here tonight as well. How about the good old Buffalo Sabres getting ready to take on the Avalanche here? That's coming up 10 o'clock. Puck dropping on this one here. 6.5, I think, is that total. Minus 188 for the Avs. If you can tell me which Avs team shows up, and, oh, by the way, which Sabres team shows up here tonight, Kurtz, I'd much appreciate it.
I said, I'm going to go the late parlay here. All right, I'm going to take the Avs. Minus 188 is a little too much for me. I'll take the Avs here, and I'll go with the Kings in the next game we're going to discuss here. So I got the parlay going there. I'm going to go the over here as well. I think even the Avalanche, you know, they can score. McKinnon, Rantanen, who was had a great little infighting there, right? He was mad at his teammate's father, who does some kind of sports stuff in Finland. And I guess he said that Rantanen doesn't work out enough. Not true. Wow, mm-hmm. So that was fun. How'd you like your father, you know, your teammate's father be criticizing you and I guess in the media back home? But anyway, Rantanen, McKinnon, McCarr. Buffalo does not defend well, but they can score goals, right? I mean, Thompson's back. Dolan's a very good offensive defenseman there. Skinner's had a revival for the second year in a row here. I think goals are coming tonight. All right, I don't think Buffalo can win the game, but this smells like 6-3, 5-3. I guess 6-4 wouldn't surprise me either. Maybe a nice good little in-game over as well here. I'm on the over here. And like I said, give me the Avalanche. I'm going to try and trust them. I think Prosvetov is starting tonight. That's another reason why I like the over, by the way. You can be the backup goaltender, but it does scare me a little bit for the parlay. I have more money on the over than I do the parlay.
Yeah, I believe it happened to be one of his teammates' father is a journalist who actually called him out for how terrible he's been here. So, yeah, interesting stuff there. All right, so then you are going to team this up, I'm guessing. Kings and Jets is intriguing. We just saw the Jets last night here, but the Kings sitting at 16-5-4, Kurtz. I like the LA Kings. Is this who you're backing up with here in the parlay?
Absolutely here. You already mentioned one of the reasons why. Jets played last night, lost to the Sharks. All right, the Jets right now, they have to get over that they lost Kyle Connor. All right, for those who don't know, Kyle Connor, he might be the best player in the NHL that nobody knows. All right, he's a pure goal scorer, 40-plus goals he was going to score. For those who didn't see the play, knee-on-knee action. The NHL decided not to suspend Strom. The Ducks, by the way. Seeing the video, I can see what the NHL was talking about. It does look like Strom's knee was already out there. Like, he didn't stick it out. So I can understand them not doing it. But the bottom line is this. Kyle Connor is out until February. All right, 6 to 8 weeks here. So he's done for them. That's a huge loss for the Jets. And I think they struggled with it last night. They got to figure out who's going to play on the top line, who's going to be on the top power play, who works well with Shifley, you know, that sort of thing. So I think they're still in this transition phase. Plus, the Kings are really damn good. Really, really good. I think they're the best team in the NHL that we don't talk about. You know, we talk about, you know, oh, we're going to talk about Toronto. We're going to talk about Colorado, about Vegas, you know, even Edmonton. We don't talk about the Kings because they don't have any sexy players on that team. But I love the Kings. Talbot's played so well in net. Do I worry about them? You know, or Talbot and net as the season rolls along and he's playing 45, 50 games? Sure. But he's not doing that yet. We're still in December here. Like the Kings tonight, have them parlayed with Colorado here. I think they take care of business. I'm not touching the total. I just don't know what I can expect from Winnipeg. Do they show up tonight? Is it only a goal or two from them? You know, the Kings can play lockdown defense here. So for now, I'm leaving it alone.
13-3-1 in their last 17 games to the under. That is the kind of defense and goaltending the Kings have been getting. And it works. It's not a bad formula for this team. I think you're right. We'll talk after maybe the first of the year. Let's see where they're at. If they're still on this pace here, Kurtz, I think there's I don't know what the future numbers are for the Kings, but if they can stay healthy and continue with that brand of defense, goaltending, and high power scoring, are we not taking a shot with them across the board in the futures market?
I think they, like I said, they're a team that no one's going to want to play in the playoffs because they play hockey.
Nobody.
They're not. Oh, we got. If we don't score five goals, we're not going to win. The Oilers. You know, they're not quite the Vegas Golden Knights, but they're very similar. Like I said, they can roll three, four lines on you. They play very strong defense. They have good goaltending. They may not have quite the offense that Vegas has. They may not have quite the goaltending that Vegas has, but they're not that far below it either. Like I said, they're a team that no one's going to want to play. If you want to play negative net here, you know, the West is very top heavy. Vegas, Dallas, Colorado. You know, even Winnipeg has played so well. I mean, the loss of Connor hurts a lot right now. You know, and then the Kings. Then we have everybody else. And even Edmonton's playing so much better now. They have figured it out. It's very top heavy. They have everybody else after that. So it'll be – what I'm trying to say is it's going to be a very fun playoffs. You know, all those six teams get in, which means, hey, they're going to be facing each other in round one, round two. They're not going to get to the conference finals here. So that's my only worry about them. But, yes, I like the Kings a whole lot.
All right, so we got five games on the ice here tonight. Three already underway. They're at the end of the first. They're 3-1 Montreal over Pittsburgh. Didn't see that one coming, but still plenty of hockey to play there. Week 15 in the NFL starts tomorrow night in a game absolutely nobody wants to watch, including both teams playing. But let's talk a little bit about your Cowboys, who have an interesting game coming up here, another test, one that, you know, listen, they've passed almost everything to this particular point, right? They handled business last game there against that Philly. Now they got to travel to Buffalo. How confident are you on the road, prime time in Orchard Park with this Cowboy team?
I think it's going to be a good game. I think this will not be a game where the Cowboys are blowing somebody out by 25, 30 points. All right. I think it's going to be a good game. You can see it from both sides. It's in Buffalo. The game is much more important to Buffalo than it is to Dallas, right? I know people are like, Dallas, it's important to them. It's important to Dallas, but it's more important to Buffalo. If Buffalo wins this game, they're going to make the playoffs. They lose this game, they're in trouble again here. First thing we do is it's Buffalo, so we check the weather. No snow. You know, and so it'll be 40 degrees, not a killer for the Cowboys. Slight chance of rain, wind about 15. So not really anything that's going to affect the game here. Although, as our, let's face it, Gabe Morency will tell you, he thinks Buffalo is, you know, even when the weather's bad, it's not good for the Bills at home. They're more of a finesse team. They prefer the weather to be nice as well for that offense to roll here. I think it comes down to this. Josh Allen, don't be stupid. What does Dallas feed off of? Mistakes. You start turning the ball over. You start doing those flip passes that he was doing last week. And that, you know, Deron Bland's running the other way. That defense lives off that. They feed off of that. You know, so I think it's, like I said, I think it's going to be a very close game. Whichever team makes the least amount of mistakes wins it. I think the Cowboys will be right there. I'm going to say Buffalo wins the game, though. Maybe the Cowboys cover. Actually, this smells like 24-23 to me, 27-24, a really close game. I said I don't think it's going to be a Dallas blowout unless Josh Allen's turning the ball over left and right. I don't think Buffalo blows out Dallas either here. I think it's a game of who makes the least amount of mistakes. Important game for Buffalo. I'm going to go with the Bills here, but like I said, I don't feel great about it. The Cowboys are going to be – they want to win this game as well because they're starting to feel it now. You know, they win. Maybe Philadelphia loses to Seattle Monday night, and the East is ours.
I hate that spot for Philadelphia here. We're already hearing about people pointing fingers in a locker room, talking about the offense being too predictable. Sirianni's giving credence to it. He's answering questions about a desperate Seattle team with the 12th man feels like that's a winnable game for Seattle. Is it not, Kurtz?
I think it's a winnable game. I mean, I'd like to see Geno Smith play. I don't know if it's winnable with Drew Locke. I don't think that's going to happen. If Geno Smith can get in there and have a decent game, he played very well against the Cowboys until late in the game. Yeah. You get that kind of Geno Smith, we know that secondary can be beat, and DK Metcalf is going off, right? Tyler Lockett as well here. Yeah, I think it's a winnable game for Seattle, and as you mentioned, it's much more important for them. They lose, their season's done.
First reports are he is going. It's priced like he's going. I think that would be more of a touchdown if Drew Locke was going there. George, good luck on the ice here tonight. We'll close it out. Game time decisions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as we look to close out this edition of Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I want to thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Don't go anywhere, though. In-game live coming up next. They'll have you covered with all the action here tonight and a quick look at the scoreboard around the NBA right now. You've got about 3 minutes left in the first half with the Pelicans. Nice comeback in the second quarter. They're up 63-52 on the Wizards right now. You also have the 76ers, shocker, pulling away from the Detroit Pistons here, 55-43. The Pistons, a record 20 consecutive losses, could very well be 21 after this game is over. Raptors on top of the Hawks. They're 26-23 with 3.5 to go in the first quarter. The Miami Heat and the Hornets. Wow, this is a slow game. 16 apiece with about 4 minutes to go there. Not a lot of offense just yet, but we are awaiting in just a couple of minutes the tip-off between the Bucks and the Pacers, Lakers, Spurs, as well as the Grizzlies and Rockets. You'll have the Nets, Suns, 9 o'clock, as well as the Jazz and the Knicks. That too is coming up. And a couple of hockey games right now. Islanders and Ducks are scoreless here in the first, and the Canadiens out to a 3-1 lead over the Penguins right now at the end of one. Nothing Bruins and the Devils. So we've got plenty still to get to here on this Wednesday coming up, including some college basketball that you're going to want to keep an eye on, along with the FAU Owls, who are on top of FIU at the break, 43-20. They were laying 23.5, 24. A couple of more buckets there in the second half. They should have no problem covering that number. Thursday Night Football coming your way 24 hours from now. Until then, best of luck with all your plays tonight. Game Time Decisions returns tomorrow. Good night.